Margaret, you said that we never would have worked overtime on Sunday. Will you explain that?
Well, no, just never. They never asked me because they would have to give you double time, double pay for the double time, and I was never asked. If it was necessary, I would have done it because that didn't make that much difference to me.
The way that you had said that, I didn't know if there was a personal reason.
No.
Did you receive raises or were you reclassified higher?
Well, I was, of course, an A, as high as you can go, and of course, they wanted me to take the lead job, but I just didn't.
Well,
the lead job would be, so many people worked under you, and they would have to come to you if they had a problem, and of course, I would worry about the fact that, well, it wasn't done right, the jobs, and what would come of it, and I felt that some of them might take a dislike to me because of maybe I hadn't treated them right or talked to them right or something. So I just wouldn't take the lead, even with the increase of pay, which was 10 cents an hour. Because I felt like I didn't want to be sleeping with that job, which I might have done if anything went wrong.
How will raises issue?
Well, the company would give us every so often a raise, and I was on the strike. They wouldn't, Douglas wouldn't give them the raise, and of course we struck.
That was in 51, are you talking about? Or
I don't know.
That
I
was
don't...
after the war, though.
Oh, yes, after the war. And it was when I was working on DC-8.
Mm-hmm. What about during the war?
Well, we never did any striking then.
No, I know. What I wondered was how you got raises during the war.
Well, I don't remember just how they did it, but every so often we'd get a raise, like the cost of living, and of course people they would get an escalator raise of every so often, maybe even just according to the cost of living going up, sometimes maybe 2-3 cents, but it'd be that much an hour and it would add up. But this. Of course, when I was on the DCA, we struck. And, of course, I had to strike. Well, it didn't bother me that much. We got, I think, $10 a week when we was on the strike. And you have to put a certain amount of time in striking or walk in the picket line. So I came in, and they had a place to eat for us and everything. And it was interesting. I kind of liked it. I mean, I didn't mind the fact that we were striking, because I had to do what I had to do.
Did you ever get harassed?
Well, no. It's kind of a funny thing. I have one of my grandsons was working in, he's working in engineering. And he, of course, naturally was in the white collar, you know. And, of course, we were walking the picket line. And, of course, they had to go through the gates to get out of the plant. And, of course, we booed him, you know, because he was working. But he didn't belong to the union, you see. If they had a union, it was different than ours, because we was CIO. And, of course, he didn't pay attention to that. We all did it just for fun more than anything else.
Did he talk to you about striking during that time?
Well, no, he wasn't on strike.
Right.
And, of course, he didn't live anywhere near me, and he didn't even know I was hollering. Maybe he didn't see me, but I was there.
That's funny.
I had a sister that was working. Of course, she was in production, which I was. And, of course, she was on strike like I was because she had to do like I had to do. But other than that, well, my sister and myself, we were working there at the time.
Were there very many people that broke this strike that went through the picket line?
Well, like I say, my nephew, he wasn't in the union. See, well, the union, and he wasn't in the union, so they just kept right on working.
What about the production workers?
Well, no, we didn't work. We stayed home or worked on the picket line a certain amount of time, you know. We had to take a turn. And I don't remember how long we were struggling, probably a couple. Well, I wouldn't know. I forgot because I had no reason to remember it, you know. After that was over, why we went back to work. And, of course, I was right back in that same job. And, of course, they could have put me on another job. But I went right on in the plant and worked on the frames on the DC-8. And, I don't know, so many people didn't go back. Or anyway, I was doing frames on 10 jigs. That would be 20 frames, the different frames that I had to know how to drill out. Of course, I went by a book, because you wouldn't remember all that, but I had to know how to do that, and I did. Some of those frames on those jigs, they'd have you drill one side of the jig, one frame, and turn it over and drill the other frame on the other side of that jig. Sometimes I wonder how I did it.
What about during the war? How long did it take you to begin to feel comfortable with your new skills and the newness of the work?
Well, it didn't take long, really. And as I say, I enjoyed it. Because it was an education. You're learning all the time. And, I really liked it.
Did you begin to do more things around the house, mechanical kinds of things that you maybe hadn't done before?
Well, no, because my husband was alive, and he would do the things. And, I didn't do any more because I had enough to do as it was.
What about after he died?
Well, my life changed quite a bit. And, of course, he after he passed away, at that time, I wasn't working, see. And so I, would, of course, wouldn't have any more to do, only the general things I had done before. But all my responsibility then.
How many women were on the crew that you worked during the war?
Well, on the crew.
But in your department?
Yeah, well, that'd be, maybe 6-8 people.
Allie,
well, it's kind of hard to tell, for me to tell now, but say the frame area, there'd be that many people, and then there'd be other parts to be able to see. Some people would be working on the nose of the plane. And I wouldn't know how many would be there because I wouldn't work there. You know.
Right. But in your department is where you work?
Well, it'd be about 8 people. Mm-hmm. Some people, well, like myself, I loaded the jig and drilled the holes. And then it takes 2 to work out in the shop there. I mean, you have somebody to shoot the rivets and somebody has to butt them. And some people could do both. But you can't do that on most of those jobs because, like on a skin, for instance, You could only, there had to be somebody on the other side.
Did you ever have any women lead?
Oh, yes.
During the war?
Yeah, well, yes, I had a woman lead in the, when I was working there. And, sure, there was just as many women leads as there are men leads. It was just to take care of the, time, you know, and all of that. Keep track of all those things.
Was it different having women lead than men?
I
mean,
I think they knew just as much as men. Men don't want to think that, but they did.
Were the supervisors around much?
Well, we had sub-foreman. We had sub-foreman and then foreman. And going from there. And I had women, some foremen. And usually the foremen were the men, you know, men. But that was all over the plant like that.
Did the men ever like, make passes at the women?
Well, if they did, I didn't know anything about it. There's always stories go around, you know. As a matter of fact, when we were striking, what year that was, I don't know. But when we come back, see, when we struck, and when we came back, somebody had been working on the frames because they had written stories, and you could see that all over. Well, of course, that wasn't very good reading for women, you know, and they had, but that soon changed. You see, I worked in the inside of the wing of the DC-8, and it was supposed to be the gas tank area, and they could write those things in there, and nobody, the officials wouldn't know anything about it.
Did you know about, very many of the men and the women dating each other and things like that during the war?
Well, they could have met somebody there, and I, of course, myself did, but I didn't go with him. A sub-foreman wanted me to go with him, but I just didn't do it. I mean, I didn't think it was good for you to go with somebody where you worked, mm-hmm. So I never did it. I could have, but I didn't do it. I don't know why my feeling was that way, but that's the way I felt.
During the war, were there ever women that were accused of being lesbians or talked about?
Well, then we had there before we worked, but there were so few. We had just one, and I don't know whether she was a lesbian or queer. Just on how far that goes, I don't know. But we knew the way she dressed like a man. But we never. She went in the bathroom just like I would go, do what we wanted to do in there and come out. We never pointed our fingers at her, or we never said anything to her. She had a job to do there, and she did it. And if that's what her life was, away from the plant, that was her life. And we, and none of our business. As long as she did her job there, that's all she was required to do. And she did it.
You didn't ever hear about...
No, we didn't hear. Well, we...
Harassment.
Mm-mm. We would talk to different ones, and we figured what was going on, but nobody ever said anything. That's the only one I remember.
Were there very many minority women?
No, they gradually began to go to work because, well, they just wanted the money. And more women started going to work. And... they were being hired because they was capable. They would probably sent them to school too. And there was nothing for you to have a woman partner. It wasn't always a man. It's just whoever happened to be put on that job, you know. So there was more hiring in all the time.
Were there many black or Mexican or Asian women that worked with you? Mm-hmm.
There was no Asian women at the time at all. And there was very few black. I don't remember seeing any Asian women there. But there was a few black. But they had a right to live and eat, too. So we treated them all right. As long as they treated us okay, well, we treated them the same way. Because at that point, you didn't dare to do anything else. You'd have probably been laid off or fired is what you'd have gotten.
Were there ever any problems? Any racial kinds of problems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, see, we don't have that like we have now. Never, as many people, you see, there was very few because even when I lived on the west side there in Long Beach, there wasn't any colored hardly, Asian or anything. But as time went on, they came to the West Coast for the jobs and the money and all of that. And they were coming more all the time, and until you didn't think nothing of it. Not so much Oriental or Asian, but colored.
How did people at the plant feel about working?
They didn't. They didn't think nothing of it, because they conducted themselves all right, and nobody had any complaints as long as they did. Just before I retired, Well, as I said, I had to take lead job for a few weeks. And these young girls, they were 21, 22 years old, something like that. They came to work at Douglas, and they didn't know that word, hardly. 21, 22, you wouldn't expect them to. But anyway, they were so happy and so tickled because I took the trouble to teach them and understand them and help them. And they were very good. They worked. I'll give them credit for that.
Did you know very many people who had come from out of state to work?
Well,
very many people from the South and
well, I didn't know them really. I mean, a lot came from out of Oklahoma. And of course, they had places there too to work, but it was all because of it's so easy to get a job. And one day you get here, maybe the next day you had a job because there was hiring. That was the thing. They were hiring. A lot different now.
What was it like working with so many different kinds of people?
I didn't think nothing of it. I just knew it was there, and I just did it. And it was nice for everybody. I think everybody liked everybody, and as I said, I never heard of any problems there. There might have been, but I wasn't mixed up in any of it.
Were you aware of any kinds of special facilities that the plant provided for the people, special services, like a store or banking or medical services or counselors?
If they had them, I didn't know anything about it. Because at the time, it was supposed to be all work, you know, building airplanes.
Was there a newspaper?
Well, Douglas has had an air school. They had their paper, and I still get the paper.
Did you read it during the war?
I didn't read it so much as I do now.
What was plant security like during the war?
Well, I really don't know.
Were you aware of, say, being watched while you were working ever, or that there were people in the plant that were making sure that, you know, things were being done?
Well, it might have been possible, but as far as I was concerned, I never gave it a thought because I usually was always working. And, of course, the way it was, a lot of them didn't. They had so many people there, and so as long as they got the job done one way or another, and it was cost plus, they knew it, and so...
Will you talk about cost plus a little bit, explain it?
Well, actually, I don't know too much myself, but the government had something to do with that, and I never thought much of it, but Douglas got more money by hiring that many more people. I couldn't really say about cost plus. I don't really know too much.
Did you join the union?
Oh, yes, right away. I joined the union, and I was in the union a whole while I worked at Douglas. You didn't have to, you know, and a lot of people say didn't. But I thought I should join the union, which I did. It wasn't, the dues wasn't so bad, but, well, and if you had a problem, you weren't treated right, you could go to the union. No, I believe in union.
How did you come to have these feelings about the union? I mean, how did you know that the union was a good thing to do?
Well, you hear people talk, you know, and they had their doctor too, and but you could go to that union, and I still do. I mean, if anything comes up if you don't get your check, pension check, or your Social Security check, and they'll get right in and help you. And I think it's wonderful.
Had you known people before you went to work at Douglas who were members of unions?
No. Mm-mm. I wasn't in... See, I wasn't out so much that I would know all that. I mean, I was home person anyway, and it probably did go on, but I didn't know anything about it.
What kinds of... encouragement was that for you to join the union?
Well, the thing of it is, because you have that security. I mean, say for instance, if you had done a job and you didn't get credit for it, or you didn't get paid for it. But the right amount of pay for that qualification, you could go to the union, and they would fight for you. I never had that problem. I always got the right amount of pay, but I know that has happened. And
did you ever go to union meetings?
No, we didn't have them so much then. It's now I go every month to Long Beach, but I didn't go to union meetings then. They were I belonged to it, and we took it out of my check, you know. But I didn't go to meetings. I was working, and really I had no reason to go, you know.
Who were the people that would go to the meetings and that were active?
Well, different people that like that sort of a thing. I didn't care for it, so. To this day, you know, but they have people there, president and whatever, you know. But I didn't care for that thing. I'm not the office type anyway.
What, was your husband in a union?
Well, he belonged to his own union, which...
At the ice company,
yes.
He had a union?
Mm-hmm. Some people think that unions have gone too far, but I believe in union. That's how we got our raises, through the union at Douglas.
Did working, when you first went to work, did working change your attitude at all about how much right you had to say, for instance, how money was spent in the family, or, I mean, you talked about that, you know, you knew, there were certain things that you knew that you didn't do or didn't say to your husband to keep peace, kind of thing. I'm wondering if working at all gave you any sense of, I have more right to, you know, have a say in this.
I was working, and I made a certain amount of money, but I felt that was like my husband, what he brought home. It was ours. And so we managed on ours. I never felt that was mine because I was out earning it. And I had double, maybe. I had my homework, too. But I didn't feel that was mine. And I've always felt that way. I know friends and I have relatives that they worked. But they thought that money that they earned was theirs. But I didn't feel that way because... my husband had the rent and the gas, water, and lights and telephone to pay for. So I think it should be a community sort of a thing. Put everything together.
How did rationing affect the family?
Well, it wasn't too bad because we lived on the west side of Long Beach. And cigarettes, you know, was rationed. Of course, I didn't smoke. But then this man that we traded with, he would, my husband would give his address regardless. And we got special kind of meats and stuff because some of that stuff was under the counter anyway. But we never had a trouble. We always got anyone to get it.
How did you do the shopping while you both were working?
Well, my husband, see, I didn't drive at the time. And my husband would have to take me to the grocery store. And I would have my list of groceries that I was going to buy, go in and buy it, and then haul it out to my car. And my husband didn't go in and was shopping with me to help me pick out this and that. I did it all myself. And then we'd go home and go on from there.
When did you learn to drive?
In 1962. I, of course, I wasn't... Well, I was working, but I was afraid to drive. And but I had I bought this car, a used car, and a friend of mine taught me how to drive. And but then of course now and then I still would get my rides. Mm-hmm. Now and then I would drive if I had to, but I didn't want to drive back and forth to work.
What made you decide to learn to drive?
Well, I lived on the west side of Long Beach where there's quite a ways to the bus. And I just felt like I wanted to drive. And so I bought this used car and paid for it. And I learned how to drive and drove. And I think I quit driving in 70. Yeah. Because I'm nervous anyway. And I've had the car hit a few times. And so I just felt like, hey, I just don't want to drive anymore. And out here in Garden Grove, it's all strange to me anyway. I don't know one street from another and get around. So my daughter takes me where I need to go because it's so much easier. She knows where it is. I don't. So that's the way it is.
Why had you never learned to drive before then?
Well, my husband was nervous, and he was content to drive. And until after he passed away and everything, I decided maybe I better drive because I was having trouble. As time went on, I was having trouble getting a ride. So I just thought, why not go ahead and do it. And then for a while, when I first drove, it was really nice. But the traffic is so bad now. And I don't have the upkeep